Welcome everybody to our council meeting, the first meeting of our new council. I declare the meeting open. And can I just ask everybody, can they please make sure their phones are on silent? Welcome to this meeting, Monday the 28th of November. In attendance, we haven't got any apologies. Table of contents is as is. Acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge and pay our respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land in which we gather today, and I acknowledge elders past, present and emerging. Do we have any declarations of pecuniary interest from any councillors? No? Okay. Confirmation of the minutes of the last council meeting held Monday the 24th of October. It was a long time ago. Councillor Adams? I need a seconder. Councillor Lambert, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Abstain.
There's no abstain, that's a vote against.
Vote against.
Well, I presume I wasn't there.
Well, we Are there any votes against? Councillor Terrett?
Yeah.
The motion's carried. I guess I haven't got what I need. I need a list of table of contents.
Table of contents. Can you print it? Not that.
The date of the next council meeting will be Monday the 12th of December. We have several motions on notice. The first one is around council meetings, right?
I'm just trying to print those off for you.
I'd like to move the motion as proposed by myself.
Is there a seconder?
Second.
Councillor Brooks?
In speaking to this motion, one of the things I have had much feedback is the fact that we need to be close to the community, and one way of doing that is actually getting into the communities and having council meetings actually in each of the towns and villages. I'm not asking for doing this every council meeting, but to for council to have this for a period and to be maybe even reconsidered later. But it is a way of us going to some of these villages and focusing some of the issues that we may or may not be aware of. Particularly in coming up to Longford, if you're living in Ross, and you have, it's not a far drive, but it is a drive and makes it challenging. Same with Campbelltown. We need to kind of focus on the people in each of the town and give them, if they wish to speak at the council meeting, also an opportunity. But also to tell people that we're there. Council has done this in the past, several years ago, I believe, and had been remarked to me that some people didn't even know that council was in town, whether that was successful. Not everybody reads the North Midlands Courier or the Examiner. They seem to be very social media focused these days, and it would be an opportunity for council to get out into our communities and show our willingness to have some input.
Thank you.
Any
further comments from anybody?
I'd like to have comments on that. I mean, I'm out and about in this community all the time, and I, you know, I'm a bit offended by a new councillor who is evidently run around saying nobody's representing him, and he comes along to the first council meeting and says, you know, all these old councillors are here not doing anything, and we heard some of that throughout the campaign. So I'm a bit offended by that. We've got a report coming on streaming. We're going to stream ourselves live I think we have a paid reporting. So I think there's a lot going on. I'm pretty open about whether we go to individual towns, but what size town do we make it? Do we go to Blackwood Creek? We go to Ross Arden, Tanara? I mean, we should work this out. Nobody seems to have any problem in ringing me, because my phone goes pretty often, and I also get emails and whatever. So I'm not opposed to going around, but we have a bus trip where we go and talk to the town committees. And the last time the town committees came to because of COVID and other things, came here and put their submissions to us. So having the stories out there to get elected to council and then bringing them here, I think you know it's a bit immature as well. So yeah.
Councillor Brooks?
No, I think Councillor Adams has totally lost the point of
I think we'll be respectful, please. Just state your point.
Well, we need to have it both ways. Yeah,
absolutely, but please be respectful.
Well, I can remember having meetings at Campbelltown when Kim Holly was the mayor a number of years ago and was very well received in Campbelltown. We had a meeting at the hospital, and I think we had one also at the town hall. And it gives those people from Ross, Campbelltown, Avoca, and all those sort of places that are down that way a chance to come to a meeting and participate in public question time. Most people wouldn't drive all the way from Ross for a 3-minute talk in public question time. So it's a really good opportunity to get those people involved, like Councillor Terrett said, get them involved in the community, and I reckon it's a really good idea, and I think we should adopt it.
Councillor
McCullough. Yeah, I agree, Mayor. I think that it's a very good idea, and Councillor Adams might be offended, but we hear a very different story when I was in the campaign situation. I was hearing that people were disgruntled and that people were unhappy with the council and that they wanted some change, and that was given. So new ideas need to be brought forward, and that's not being disrespectful or trying to offend Councillor Adams, but what we're saying is things change in life. Things change for the better. Things change with the times, and I think getting around the community, giving something back to the community, being approachable by the community is a very important aspect.
Councillor Andrews.
What if we took up the officers' recommendation that we get the council officers to do a report on this for us, because we'd have to investigate, even if we take up the idea, we'd have to investigate whether we've got places we can actually meet, facilities that will take us all and the public that want to come along. So why don't we go with getting our officers to have a look at it for us and report back to the next meeting?
That's the motion that's put forward. Councillor Archer, were you wanting to speak?
I agree with Councillor Andrews on that, and also, of course, we come to force this on another motion on live stream. That may be quite adequate for many people who are more isolated. So.
And this is recommending a report committee. Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. The next motion on notice is the sale of the Campbelltown Hall. We need a mover and a seconder.
I move.
Councillor Terrett. And Councillor General Manager, would you wish to speak on this?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I think I need to bring the Council's attention with regards to some of the items that were put in the report and some of the advice that's gone in the papers too with regards to a media release or media item about the sale of the Campbelltown Hall. I'd perhaps like to work through the motions and the process and try to explain the process we've been through to date. Now, back in, I think on the 15th of March 2021, Council did determine, did consider the selling of the Campbelltown Hall. It was considered in closed council, and at that time we were advised, post that decision, we were advised that those decisions should not be considered in closed council. Accordingly, that's why the matter came back to the Council meeting on the 17th of May 2021, at which time the matter was considered in open council, and at that time council then determined to sell the Campbelltown Hall. That process though then led to because this is community land. There's a formal process under section 178 of the council is to follow by advertising the public land that council wishes to sell it. Council then seeks comments from the community. As the previous councillors may be aware, and the new ones are reading some of the reports, there was a number of objections. Those objections were heard by council, and then council still made its decision to move ahead with the sale. Those objectors then had the right to appeal to the appeals tribunal, which they did do, and that was a formal process that was then followed, and that wasn't successful, and council was then allowed to proceed with the sale of the property. The matter considered at this council's meeting on the 27th of June 2022, that relates to an expression of interest. Where council sought expressions of interest for people to actually market and dispose of the property. That's covered under section 177 of the Act, where council needs to follow a due process when it disposes of any property. So the council at that time had determined that it wished to sell the property by going through a real estate agent. That's why they sought expressions of interest. No formal decision was made at that time because council wished to seek further additional expressions from other real estate owners. Going back one step, back on the 19th of July 2021, council also considered the sale of the property, and that was considered in open council again, and that process was again to ensure that it was understood that the motion needed to be carried by an absolute majority. That's why that was put forward again to council at that time. Council at its meeting on the 15th of August 2022, at that time engaged Knight Frank to actually to sell the property. That was engaged again under section 177, where council is required or made a determination on the process in which it wished to dispose of the property. Council had already made a determination to sell the property in accordance with 178. Just making yourselves aware of that process. Again, officers have made a recommendation here that there should be a report prepared and brought back to council, because in these normal, under these normal considerations, there's a requirement for council to consider what's taken place to date, any expenditure to date, and how far the motions have been carried into action. If council were happy to accept that, council also could put on the books that if there's any concern that the officers were going to progress the sale of the property prior to the matter being considered, council could also move a motion that no action be taken to sell the property prior to receiving and considering the notice of motion report.
Councillor Terry.
I'm happy to move in accordance with the general managers that no action be taken until further report comes back. I am still concerned about the August meeting, given that the motion also stated and sell the town hall. It did more than just appoint a real estate agent, it also directed the sale as well. So I believe that should have been in open council, respectfully. But I would accept the general manager's proposal to take no further action and that a further report be brought back to council at this stage.
And the second is happy with that? Councillor McFarlane?
Not necessarily. I just want to get clarification. Councillor Terrett put there that there was not an absolute majority of the meeting when the decision was made to sell the town hall, is that correct?
Yes, I put that forward, but that's not correct.
Were there nine councillors present? Were there nine councillors present?
No, it's not about the number present, it's about the number actually move it. There needs to be five out of nine. Yes. Absolute majority is five out of nine.
Yes, that's correct, 5 out of 9.
Yes.
And 5 out of 9 moved, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, on that basis I'll agree to second that motion.
Okay, any further discussion?
I'd just like to speak in reply if I may.
You can speak to sum up.
In
regards to this, this will enable us to see a feasibility study on the future use of the town hall, which hasn't been done, I understand.
No, not at this stage, no. It will just be a matter of whether council wishes to enact the resolution put forward there. That would be part of that final resolution. The council would then give direction for the staff to go and get that done.
Yeah. Councillor Brooks?
Well, what happens then with the hall that's currently up for expressions of interest or for sale at the moment?
stops.
That just stops, does it?
Oh, it still progresses, but there'll be no action to sell it, as indicated in that motion. That decision would come back to council.
I would.
You've already had to say, I'm sorry. Any other councillors who wish to speak? Councillor Terry and Mr. Summer?
Just in summing up.
Sorry, Councillor Goss.
I'm fine. This matter has been before council for a long time, at Campbelltown Hall. There's been a lot of proposals and a lot of emails, a lot of people write things. It should be a culture centre, etc., which is fine. I'm somebody that doesn't like to sell public assets, I can assure you. But buildings have to have purpose. You have to have purpose for your buildings, otherwise they just sit there and they rot away, or you spend a lot of money. I think the upgrade reports were something plus, a million plus, on the Campbelltown Hall. Painting, upgrading the kitchen is pretty bad. So these things, to find $1 million to spend on this hall, there'll have to be some really interesting decisions made. Maybe strike a rate for the Campbelltown area. So when the upgrading of the facilities at the sports precinct, I understood that the logical process was that the hall would go out of process, and council would have to find something for it to do, and that's what council has been doing for the last 2 or 3 years. But again, it became a political issue, and put it on the agenda. I understand people wanting to keep an iconic building, but maybe that building could become a bigger plus in some other way than it presently is. And I don't know how we would find a million plus to do that. The limited amount of people. If people want to make it into something, that's great, but nobody's showed up to do that yet. Here at Longford, we have two halls. One hall's in a pretty getting old, but we've had a hall committee, and we've now got a cultural group that is trying to make that into a purpose and give it a purpose. If people do that, then and local communities get involved and volunteer, then you can achieve these buildings and give them a purpose. But at this stage, nothing has come about at Campbelltown.
No further councillors? Councillor Terry, Mr. Summer?
Yes, I would actually. And I thank Councillor Adams for acknowledging it is an icon of Campbelltown. The cost of $1 million, I do question that, and I won't. Not seeing the previous reports, I can't comment on that. But I think we need to be updated on how much the maintenance is. And council has expended significant funds on sporting facilities, road upgrades and so forth. That shouldn't be seen to be an asset, and there is possibility of using that as a public asset. We should keep that in our in council control and make that an iconic. And I do acknowledge the fact that Longford Town Hall, there are some things happening there. Why can't that happen in Campbelltown? And that's why I want to see no further sale of that particular hall.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Councillor Goss is against. Anybody else? The motion is carried. 5.3 is live streaming of open council meetings. Councillor Lambert.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll move that. I'll
have a seconder.
So as Councillor Terrace has also mentioned, I was canvassed quite heavily about, particularly around the period of time where COVID struck, and we were unable to have people mostly in the chamber. We weren't even in the chamber ourselves. So I just, you know, I've been looking around at what other councils were doing, and I think it's about time that we came up to speed with technology. We have some great technology in this room now, and I think we should be able to be utilising a bit better than what we are. This live streaming, I think we're one of only 4 or 5 councils that don't actually do it. So I think we are a little bit behind the times in that respect. This would enable people to stay connected with council in times of pandemics, etc., and be able to tune in and see what we're debating and talking about as councillors. I know that from looking at some of the other councils who use it quite well, Devonport is an excellent example. the way they present it on their website, from being able to access the links, for example, and being able to look at it afterwards as well, is a real plus. At the moment, we have our paper version, we have an audio version, not always easy to distinguish between what some people are saying when there's lots of people talking. I think that visual will add to that ability for people to be able to see and clearly understand who's saying what they're actually saying and be able to focus on it. And we don't know, in terms of pandemics, what's going to happen. Hopefully nothing, but we didn't anticipate this was going to happen either. So I think it's future-proofing us as well for being able to still run our council business, have our community connect with us in that way, and I think that's very important. So
Councillor Terry?
I'd like to speak in support of Councillor Lambert, and I thank her for bringing this to council. It is something that is used right across the country, and people have interests way beyond this area. If you own property and it's affected and you're on holidays and you want to know what's happened to the development going on next door, you want to see what's going on. You want to see if there's representation. This is about us having maturity to move forward and go reconnect to the community, and it's a part of the maturity in this council to move forward, and I support the motion entitled.
Councillor McCullough?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea, Mayor. I think Councillor Lambert for bringing to the table. I think we're in the year 2022 and people are after transparency, they're after integration with the council, they're after to see what actually happens, and I think it's a real big plus in connecting with the community.
Okay, I'll put the record. Councillor Adams?
Yeah, I'll, yes. I support the idea. It's a modernisation, as Councillor Mr. Mayor said. I think it takes us forward. I was just wondering if we get some makeup to get ready for this, or whether we're going to get made up after before we come on. And maybe I should get an allowance to get some flash jackets. I mean, I might to make sure that I stand out in the process. But I support it, Mayor.
Thank you. No further comment. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Okay. 5.3.4 is the waste dump point at Evandale.
I'd like to leave that
yes.
motion.
And do we have a seconder? Councillor McCullough.
This is a subject that has been going on for quite a lot of many years, and I actually went back to the papers and saw that back in March of 2015 there was also this debate about the dump point and so forth. But many people have raised this directly with me, and that most people using RVs, and people travel around Tasmania in a caravan or RVs, and Evandale is shown to be as a place to have a dump point. Now that was taken out some time ago, and for me, some very good reasons, but it has not proven to be a good thing for Evandale in the long run, because people go to Evandale to use the dump point, and we as a council should be providing services for tourism. There are some businesses that have said, oh well, the RV users and caravan users don't spend money in town. Well, I'm sorry, but I think they do. Tourism is a bit of our lifeblood, and if we need to be react to that, we need to have some dump points. And many people have raised with me from Evandale that this is really needed. I haven't prescribed where it should go locate, and therefore I've asked for a report to be brought back, and that be brought back to council as soon as possible.
Councillor Lambert,
I would support this. We are desperate to find the correct location for this to be reinstated. It was a very difficult decision to take it out. I think we have combed nearly every centimetre of Evandale and surrounds. The works manager might support that, trying to find the right place because it has to connect to a sewage line and all sorts of requirements. Not as easy as people would think, otherwise I think we would still have one. But I do support it, and I think we need to try and find a solution, despite the fact that we have gone through, as I said, almost every centimetre of Evandale. We need to go over that again and see if we can find that right place.
Okay, any comment from the works manager before we can see?
Well, council engaged a civil consultant just to have a little put of money out of honeysuckle banks, which would just be a pretty well a dump point, which goes into a pit, and also put a toilet off that as well, which is something we'd have to back out. Can't go to any septic system down there, it's in the flood area. We're just working through that at the moment, so it seems ongoing.
Can I just comment on that? And that is something that I think we talked about in our last term, the honeysuckle banks. And I just want to say I'm very pleased to hear that, because it might have been way back in 2015, I think, when Councillor Terrett was referring to honeysuckle banks, where I was trying to get some toilet facilities up there because of some things that were going on. And we didn't have the right sorts of toilets available at the time to allow that to happen. So things have moved on and progressed, which is fantastic. So to be able to perhaps take the idea of honeysuckle banks back to the Everdale community for comment, I think it's going to be really important. Hopefully they will support it.
Councillor Andrews.
Yes, I think my questions have been answered. I was just going to say that I believe that this is actually something in progress that's already happening, and so I wonder whether we actually need this motion, because it's going on as we speak, that Council's been trying to find a solution to this for ages, and it sounds as though we're on the way to finding a solution. So maybe it's just that we have to let the people of Evandale know that we're still working at that, and we've almost got a solution by the sounds of things.
Well, Madam Mayor, the report really just highlights what we're progressing, and I think the Council's happy to progress that. It's really just highlighting what, but the report will only be provided when we get the advice that we need to bring the report back to Council.
Councillor Adams.
I was just going to say, as people have covered it, but it's the trouble we've had with Evandale is that not next door to me, and that's understandable, but nobody wants it to be close to them. And you know, you need a sewage line, or as the work manager said, down on the river, are the issues of the floods and the aerial floods. So you put the sewage in a tank and close it off, but you still have to pump that out. These are all a lot of cost in infrastructure over a year or two.
No further comment,
Councillor Boyle. Quite important to me while I run the Evandale Community Meeting about the Evandale Gun Club area, but that would be a good area for the gun club. So maybe there's something the office also can investigate.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, absolutely. Do you need to sum up, Councillor Terrett?
No, I think I'm happy to be brought back, and also to involve the Evandale community through the district committee is, I think, without saying.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Against? Carried. The local district? 5:30. Okay, public question time. Yes. There.
Yes, we get some clarification, so this is slightly different to what we're
doing. Yes, different.
So are we doing public
question
time now?
Yes.
And
then
are we going into
plan? Yes. If the public will just bear with us, we've all got new technology and a new setup here. How do I get to this? This isn't working that so much. Okay, now this is the time where members of the public are asked if they would like to make a statement or ask a question about something that's not related to the planning items. They'll have 3 minutes to speak, and you can ask two questions or make two statements. Yes. Yes. State your name and address, and you've got 3 minutes.
David Gatenby, Chairman of the Campbelltown Hospital Board. Thank you for the time tonight. As you've probably all heard through the media and around the communities, the Campbelltown doctor, the Longford practice is leaving the Campbelltown Hospital, and so after January 6 next year, we won't have a doctor. Now this is, if I could just bring the councillors up to speed, there's 26 beds in that hospital. It ranges from Rossarden, Royal George, Tunbridge, and all the farming areas, Campbelltown, Ross as well. So it's a huge blow. The community is absolutely devastated. I'm very disappointed in the short notice that we as a board and the community for the Longford practice, they've given us been over a month to try and find a solution. It's totally disappointing. What I've come here tonight is ask the council to help facilitate meetings with the state and federal government and Tasmanian health system as well. We need help in Campbelltown. We talk about town halls and things. This is the big issue in Campbelltown. Forget about the town hall. This is the big issue that the community is devastated. Councillor Lambert is on our hospital board. And the other disappointing thing was that this has been in the news for nearly 2 weeks now. Not one councillor has rung me to see what they could do. We are a part of the municipality down there and we need support. And I'm very disappointed in the councillors that have not run. And that's about all I'll say. We need help.
Thank you, Mr. Gatenby. I can assure you that we are actively seeking a meeting with Brian Mitchell and with the Premier, and that we've had, well, I've personally had contact with from the St Mary's doctor and the Oatlands doctor, and also the nurse practitioners. They're all actively wanting to support what's going on, and I've CC'd you into all the emails and the contacts.
Yes.
So I thank you very much. Yes, certainly. Yes. Anyone else from the public that wishes to speak on an item that's not a planning item? Yes.
Lisa Gordon, 111 Canara Road, Canara. As a local resident and a local hairdresser, I do hear what's the talk in the town. At the moment, the subject is the Campbelltown Hall. The concerns are that it's costing the council a huge amount of money, and it's an ongoing maintenance is massive, as we've actually just heard tonight. Gone are the days when it's booked every weekend, so it's hardly even booked out now. Benefits if it was sold to private enterprise is that the council will benefit from the rate. We also need to look at the courthouse, which was sold recently. The courthouse is now being restored, looks stunning, and also is attracting a huge amount of visitors and locals to Campbelltown. Another prime example is Oatlands with the distillery. We as a community feel that there is plenty of opportunities for private enterprise to jump in, which will create jobs for locals, and it can also be restored to its former glory. It needs love put back into it, and we can all benefit in the long term. Also, just on another subject, because I can get to
the next one.
As I was campaigning in Ross Arden, and I don't know how many of you knocked on Ross Arden people's doors, they're very, very concerned about and would like council to get a quote on a fence around their playground. At the moment, there's no fencing around their playground at all, and the residents are absolutely petrified to leave their children or for their children to play as it gets quite busy. So if council could actually look at maybe getting a quote and before the budget.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just ask you just to speak on the parking issue?
Yep.
Yes, that's now. That's now. It's not a main item, but yes.
Okay. I'm Nicole Graham, the owner of the church at Campbelltown, here with my husband Gary and son Jack. We're here because the general manager wants us to pay for upgrades to council land. With the bitumen road widening, needed to reach a bitumen angled car park, and this road widening would be equivalent to another lane's width, plus to add curb, guttering and footpath. This has been an unexpected demand at this very late stage of our development application, and it has delayed the project and would make our project unviable. We are asking that we be able to do as the independent traffic engineer recommended. And what was previously approved by this council just 4 years ago when we were a meetings and events venue, which is 9 90-degree gravel parking spaces with drainage. This is a far more affordable, practical, and importantly, it is far more in keeping with the heritage scope of the property, plus a bitumen car park so close to our heritage listed trees will cause permanent damage. On your agenda and in media releases, you named just three businesses as comparisons: the Grange, Banjo's, and the yet-to-be-built Anglican Church extension. All three, unlike us, have land available on-site for parking. We don't have that land, so these comparisons are not at all relevant. The Grange car park is gravel. The Anglican Church to this day has no formal on-site or street parking for either the church or the op shop, which is just down the road from our property. Patrons simply pull off the main highway and park at any angle on the gravel verges or on the grass. There are no allocated parking spaces at all and never have been. We have no issue with this at all, but the rules seem very varied. A more accurate comparison would be council's own tool patrons, which for 35 years parked informally in this very location in Bridge Street up until recently. Also noted, with no requirement for council themselves to provide any formal parking area, whether that be gravel, bitumen or anything at all. The recent pedestrian underpass workers with their cars, trucks, diggers, cranes and heavy machinery were also parked in this very section of Bridge Street for over a year, again with no parking requirements. A fairer and more accurate comparison would also be the 20 plus Campbelltown businesses who, like us, have no capability of providing on-site parking. They, their employees and their customers park in either the surrounding streets or in allocated council parking areas. We have a full list of these businesses and a list of reasons, many more reasons, that far outweigh this 3 minute grab. Also, we have a petition of 415 plus signatures and many strong comments of support. We're not asking for anything at council or the community's expense. And importantly, the location of our parking does not affect one other business or one other resident. We are the only property in this section of Bridge Street. We are the only ones impacted.
Thank you. Is any other members of the public who wish to ask a question or make a comment about something that's not related to planning? Okay, well, at this stage of the meeting, it is this week is White Ribbon Week. I would like to ask the councillors and any member of the public who wishes to stand with me at this council meeting and make the White Ribbon Pledge. In Australia, a woman is killed every single week. A man is killed every 19 days. This is terrible violence in our families. The only way to stop the violence is to change the culture. And this starts with us as leaders in the community just taking a stand and speaking out. So I'd like to ask the councillors and any member of the public who wishes to stand. I think you can see the pledge up there. There's a few words that you might like to say with me.
I pledge to never commit, excuse or show silence about sexual harassment, sexual assault or domestic violence against others.
Thank you. Okay, now we're moving to planning. I need a councillor to move, but we need to planning. Councillor Lambert and Councillor Terrace. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Planning one. Mr. Dollier.
No, you
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. I'm asking the public. Is there anybody here who wishes to speak on planning one? We've got 3 minutes. We can have two speakers for and two speakers against. And each person has 3 minutes. So is there anyone here who wishes to speak on planning one? No.
What's planning one?
TransLink area, a specific area planning.
Rezoning.
So nobody wishes to speak on planning one? Okay, planning two. is a draft amendment of the Northern Rivers Local Provision Schedule, 21 Macquarie Street, Cressing. Is there anyone here who wishes to make a statement or ask a question about Planning 2? No? Okay. Planning 3 is a silo development in Parana Road. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak for or against? We can have two speakers for and two speakers against. So one person wishes to speak for, you may stand, say your name and your address, and you've got 3 minutes.
Sure. James Stewart, Walcott Servos. I'm a town planner and we're the applicant acting for XLD Commodities for the proposed silo development for council tonight. We'd like to express our support for the motion that has been put before council. As Brian has highlighted in his assessment, the purpose of the rural resource zone, as stated in clause 26.1 of the scheme, is to provide for primary industry uses, including opportunities for resource processing. The local area objectives of the planning scheme further state that primary industries and processing help ensure the long-term sustainability of the resource and that it is not compromised. In relation to this specific development, careful consideration has been given to how the development was sited and presented on the land. The silos will have a setback of 396 metres from Parana Road and 800 metres from the closest dwelling. A detailed landscaping plan was submitted with the application, and XLD have committed to all the vegetation planting as part of the works on site. The recommended conditions rightfully require this planting be undertaken prior to any building completion, and it requires that it be maintained for the duration of the use. The application is for the silo development and the associated infrastructure within a rural and agricultural environment. The nature and character of the development is in keeping with this part of Cressy, Parana Road and the local area. The activity is agricultural in nature and it is compatible with surrounding uses as is demonstrated at the existing site down the road. The landscape architects have worked with local suppliers to ensure appropriate species are selected as part of the vegetation plantings. In relation to traffic, a detailed traffic impact assessment was undertaken. The TIA was accepted and determined as adequate by council's engineering staff. The TIA has recommended that a specialist right turn lane be provided on Parana Road, enabling vehicles to pass and stationary vehicle turning right onto the site. Parana Road as a whole was recorded as having very low traffic volumes and was very typical of Tasmanian rural roads. There was no indication that there were or will be any specific road safety issues as a result of this development. The application will allow XLD to consolidate their existing operations onto one site. We submit that this application is entirely in keeping with the zone purpose, the relevant use standards, the desired future character statements, on all relevant zone and code clauses within the interim planning scheme, and we request that councillors vote as per the motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody who wishes to speak against the development? Yes?
I'm on the floor.
No, I need whoever speaks next is against. Okay. Yes, thank you.
Hi, I'm Claire Gregg, Minister of Planning. I'm a town planner and I'm engaged on behalf of Mayfield Farms, Tom and Dan, and I've provided advice to surrounding landowners. When acting as a planning authority, council must make a decision based on the planning scheme. You must have regard to the advice of your planners, but you are not bound by it. Otherwise, you would simply delegate all decisions to the planners. In this instance, your role is critical, as with respect, there are a number of fatal flaws in the application and in the assessment presented to you, including 1, the incorrect use of the term agricultural use to avoid the scrutiny of the performance criteria of clause 26.3.1. 2, the lack of detail and accuracy around the height and prominence of the development in the landscape. No credible montage has been provided, and the use of a 15-kilometre radius to define the local area is respectfully an overstretch. 3, the assumption that the traffic movements are not new due to existing sites closing, when in fact these sites will continue to be used as grain storage by others. 4, storage of fertiliser falls into the use class of bulky goods. Fertiliser storage was removed from the resubmitted application, but then conceded to be still part of the development in response to the rest provided by Walcott. I will now deal with points 1 and 2 in greater detail. The applicant makes the argument that the use of resource processing grain storage fits the definition of agricultural use set out in the scheme. No time to read the whole thing, but the key words are storage of produce for dispatch to processors. FLD is the processor, not the producer, and therefore does not meet the definition. What this means is scrutiny against the performance criteria of 26.3.1 has been avoided. You have not been provided with a full and correct assessment, particularly in relation to P3 and P4. The use is a conversion of agricultural land that will impact the surrounding resource development uses and two sensitive uses through emissions and will impact the long-term viability of cropping land through biosecurity issues and significant bird predation, which is evident in the existing site's operations. P5 requires that the development's visual appearance is consistent with the local area. 10 18.3 metre high silos plus the 13.9 metre silos are not consistent with the local area in terms of height, bulk and scale. The surrounding area is grazing and cropping land with no significant structures. The 15 kilometre radius to define the local area is, as I've said, an overstretch and it pulls in Longford and Cressy. Clause 26.4.1 sets out the height of 12 metres. The PC requires buildings to be unobtrusive and to complement the surrounding landscape. The photo montage does not take into consideration the contours of the land that rise by 12 metres from the creek. The long distance approaches from both ends of Piranha Road will see the whole development, and there is no amount of setback or landscaping that can mitigate this.
That's 3 minutes, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there anybody who wishes to else who wishes to speak for this development? Yes.
Good evening. My name is John Tuscan. I am the General Manager of XLD. The planning application before you comes at an exciting time for agriculture in the state. And it looks to make sure the region is able to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented. 180 years ago, Tasmania grew 52% of Australia's wheat, and by the start of 1900, we were producing 100,000 tonnes, which was only 5%. Since then, the state crop has dropped as low as 30,000 tonnes. Based on estimates from the last harvest, Tasmania produced around 90,000 tonnes of cereals and oilseeds. The prediction for this harvest is the crop to well exceed 100,000 tonnes. You will see well over 50% growth in the last 5 years. Unfortunately, this is only keeping up with the demand and the growth in demand and not really eating into 300,000 tonnes plus of grain and oilseeds getting imported into Tasmania every year. The proposal we are seeking approval on is to replace the ageing infrastructure and lack of expansion room at our existing site with a greenfield site within the same district on the same road. The site will incorporate the latest technology and techniques that will provide farmers and consumers with best practice in receiving and delivering grain. We've aimed to deliver a site that is well set back and will contain activities within the site, and we believe it's not out of place in an area that is all made up of commercial farms and other facilities designed to complement farming activities in the Northern Midlands. Based on our historical receivals, just over 50% of the deliveries will originate from the western end of Piranha Road, so traffic to the site along the length of the road will be similar. 60% of the planted crop is in the Northern Midlands reach, and some of the state's major processors are also in the region. We believe that to give growers confidence to grow more cereals and oilseeds, we need to provide surety that the crop can be sold and or handled. Our proposal is mindful of the area, being away from the towns in the municipality, but still providing access to an existing transport route already used for the carriage of on-farm agricultural production. By complementing the suppliers that sell the seed, the growers that grow the grain, and the producers that process the end product, along with the transport operators that cart the product, XLD Commodities is committed to play our part to benefit agriculture in Tasmania. I ask that you endorse the planner's recommendation to approve this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak against the project?
Thank you. My name is George Mills and I'm from Pansanga, Longford. This development should not be passed by the council due to the non-compliance to the planning scheme requirements. 26.3.1 discretionary use, A2P2. The use will result in significant benefit to the region. having regard to the economic, social and environment costs and benefits. Grain trucked from all regions of the state to this site and then trucked back to many of those regions again provide no income to the ratepayers and only a significant cost for road repairs. P3A1, limitations created by an existing use and or development surrounding the site. Pansanga adjoins the western boundary of the site. The proposal does not conform to the national heritage status of Pansanga. P3B1, the site is practically incapable of supporting an agricultural use. This site has supported dry land agricultural production for over 100 years, as does the neighbouring properties. P4, A, B and C. Primary industry users will not be unreasonably confined or restrained from conducting normal operations, and the capacity of the local road network can accommodate the traffic generated by the use. No mention of how the cockatoo bird problem is going to be controlled, as clearly there was no control at the other XLD storage sites. The consequences for neighbouring farms will be catastrophic. The Midson Traffic Report supplied for this venture. 1. Understates the truck movements on Parana Road. 2. Claims the existing grain storage sites at the Midland Highway will not be used. Incorrect. 3. The adjoining roads to Parana Road won't be used by trucks. Incorrect. And the vehicle entrance to the proposed site has an inadequate road visibility. P5. It must be demonstrated the visual appearance of the use is consistent with the local area having regard to the impacts on skylines and ridgelines and visibility from public roads. Due to the planned height of 18.3 metres, the silo complex will be very visible from the road and local area. The proposed building height of 18.3 metres exceeds the 12 metre limit. In summary, the proponent is clearly not proposing the development of the grain storage for the grain grown on the said land.
That's 3 minutes, I'm afraid.
Thank you.
Okay, planning four. Is there anybody who wishes to make a statement or ask a question about planning four? And that's dwelling and stables in the Midland Highway, Campbelltown. No? Okay, we'll move back to planning one. The draft amendment of the Northern Midlands Local Provision Schedule TransLink Pacific Area Plan.
Yes, recommend.
You're moving the recommendation, Councillor Serge.
I second.
And Councillor McCullough is second. Any discussion?
I think that it's going to help enhance TransLink and the economic and industrial area of the municipality. And there's been a need to look at the zoning in that space and to even make smaller areas available for people who want to build an industry or have their activities there. So I fully support the rezoning.
Thank you. No further comment from anybody? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Planning 2 is the draft amendment of the Northern Local Plan Local Provision Schedule 21 Macquarie Street Crescent. Councillor Terrett's moving. Councillor McCullough is seconding. Any discussion?
Councillor, I just think it's a. I've seen the site. It seems the obsolete to the Bowls Club. It's in a residential area, predominantly. It's in a back street of Crescent. I think that would be just quite a reduce for it. Councillor Goss has mentioned the number of buildings there. I think it can only take 2 maximum at this point. If it was to go to a multiple dwelling site, it can only take 3 as a maximum, so I think it will be fine.
Councillor Adams?
This piece of land becomes surplus to the Bowls Club because of your strength, since I was a boy, and they only needed 1 rink and not 2, so I think they offered it to council to see if there were any uses for recreation, but the council doesn't have it. It has the recreation ground just above the golf club. So, I think this is a good use that it rezoned to become residential.
Councillor Lambert?
Just in regard to the process moving forward, if this was approved tonight, there will be opportunity for public comments and people to get to have some say on this, because it is, it's quite a big thing to cut a bowls club up and to sell it off in a small town. So I just want to make sure that every avenue in terms of people being made aware of this and being able to have their say is available.
Yeah, thanks. So under the Land Use Act, the process for the scheme amendments is if council decides to agree to it, it goes on public notification, 28 days. Any submissions that come out of that process come back to council for their consideration, and then they go to the Planning Commission who, if there's submission, will hold a hearing and make the final decision.
Councillor Andrews.
I support this motion because it's come from the Bowls Club itself, basically, and this will help them considerably. It's a volunteer organisation and will help them considerably financially.
Further comments?
Based on council.
Mr. Park, you summing up, are you?
Yes, just summing up. I do think that it's essential we get our communication to the public very much better, so that they've all got to say if they have that say they can.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Planning 3 is the solar development on Perenna Road. Councillor Archer, you're moving the motion?
No, someone can move first, sorry.
Yes. You can move a motion if you wish.
Oh, well, I move that the motion be lost, that this planning development does not go ahead.
Does not go ahead. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Don't we have to look at the first point of order? Don't we have to look at the motion on the books first of all?
No, any councillor can move a motion and then you debate that motion. That's correct.
That's correct, but they need to list the reasons why.
Yes.
That's right. I have, in anticipation of Feb, some reasons for refusal that Ms. Each will have on computer. Under the October, November 28, down the bottom.
Somebody, are you going to speak?
Yeah, we'll wait till we get to the
item.
Oh, I see.
So that is based on the discretions that are outlined in the report. There's been grounds for refusal.
Are you able to go through those, Mr. Goddard, for us?
I can.
Yes, if you have to.
So the first one does not comply with 26.3.1 P1.1, as the use is not consistent with the local area objective, the provision of processing, as the long-term sustainability of the primary industry resources will be compromised. Point B, 26.3.1 P3A, as it has not been demonstrated that the conversion of non-prime agricultural land to non-agricultural land so use is minimised. 26.3.1 P4A, it's not been demonstrated that emissions are not likely to cause an environmental nuisance through noise, odour and light spill. 26.3.1 P4B, it's not been demonstrated that primary industry uses will not be unreasonably confined or restrained from conducting normal operations through the attraction of sulphur-crested cockatoos in the area, which will severely affect the neighbour's property's ability to grow crops. 26.3.1 P4C, it's not been demonstrated the capacity of the local road network can accommodate the traffic generated by the use. 26.3.1 P5, it's not been demonstrated that the visual appearance of the 18.3 metre high silos is consistent with the local area. 26.4.1 P1A, as the silos with a height of 18.3 metres are obtrusive and do not complement the character of the surrounding landscape. And E4.6.1 P3 and E4.7.2 P2, it has not been demonstrated that the new access has been designed and located
to maintain an adequate level of safety and efficiency for all road users.
And can I just ask the planning officer, are you okay that these will stand up to appeal?
Yes, well, I'll note that our planner, Mr. Robinson, did the report, so it's quite okay for me to suggest these, and yes, I do think that they would stand up as grounds for refusal of appeal.
Okay, it's open to discussion. Councillor Andrews.
I would vote against this.
Sorry. I beg your pardon, I do too. Yes.
Of all those refusals, my main refusal is to do with 26.4.1 PA, which is the height of the structures. I believe 12 metres, 50% above those, does bring into great threat the landscape there, and I believe the landscaping options there are not really viable, and any options will take 20 years probably to cover it. So I would be suggestive that the height of the buildings be reduced in a future application. And that is my main reason for the refusal. There are other inadequacies in regards to the traffic, where the Traffic Midson report deleted the fact that they were extra movements by trying to say that the previous things were closed down. So there are issues with road safety, I believe, and also design of the entrance. My main issue is that the height is unnecessary. You can store just as much grain, 12 metres, if you build more silos. So the height is not necessary to be that high. Thank you.
Councillor Andrews.
I'll be voting against this motion, that it be refused, because I think that this deserves discussion, and by shutting it down this quickly, the discussion about this really big issue for the agricultural industry won't get a chance to happen.
Councillor Adams.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I certainly will be voting against this motion. I support the original recommendation from the planner. I believe that we have in this zone, and some years ago, there was a committee of council and of some local people on an economic committee that was looking at this region as being an agricultural zone. We have an abattoirs there, we have a fish farm, we have a berry farm, we have the sale yards on the other end. It's a real agricultural hub, generating jobs and activity. This grain storage will generate jobs through trucking and other activity. I take the point that the height might really stand out in the landscape, and landscape is very important, and we should take notice of that. And I don't know why it hasn't been raised or got to some level before this. But the birds, well, you know, there's a feedlot on the other end of the road, at the highway end. So, you know, there's a lot of birds, the cockatoos. That's a pest problem and needs to be dealt with through agriculture and through the agriculture department. I think, this is going to continue to grow as an agricultural area for processing, I believe, and storage, etc., etc. And there's a lot of jobs come out of that from our agriculture sector. There's the landowners that own the land and generate the economic activity, but a lot of people work in these industries, and that area alone generates a lot of jobs. So I certainly will vote against this, because I want to see those economic activity continue to grow in that region.
Thank you. Mr. Park, Councillor Park.
I'll be supporting Councillor Archer. I think the visual impact just doesn't cut the criteria as far as the being unobtrusive. Councillor Adams made a couple of good points, that there's silos up the other end of Power Run Road. There's sale yards up there, and there's an abattoirs at the other end, but they're both at the predominant ends of Piranha Road, so I don't believe that this... I'd be all encouraging this industry and this business, but I can't get my head around the visual impact.
Any further discussion?
I think I'd like to echo some of the sentiments of Councillor Adams, saying that this is a significant agricultural area. I'm not going to vote against this because of that. I am voting against it because of the height. and concern for the neighbours who have to look at this. Landscaping is one thing, but the time it takes to get to the height to hide an 18 metre tree next to that is some time. I'm also concerned about a fertiliser, small amount of fertiliser that will be held there, and it is unclear from the application how much that would be, or whether that changes its use from a silo to a bulk storage area. And without that information, I would not support that dismotion.
Councillor Lambert.
I'd like to thank Councillor Archer for putting this motion forward. I will be supporting this motion. A lot of the things that you put up there were questions in my head as well, particularly around the height. I just cannot get my head around how we're going to screen something that is not even a compliant height with trees. I think we'll be waiting quite some time for that to happen. I can't see how that's going to happen. And I can't see how you're not driving along the road and that's not going to be obtrusive in your view. I just can't get my head around that at all. So I would be supporting this motion.
Okay, Councillor Goss?
No, I won't be supporting the motion. Look at that area talked about on the eastern end of Burner Road. There's lots of silos there and potato storages down the road towards Valley Fields. We've got a big storage area down there which is used for the used to be used for the poppy crops there. And that's down the area there. On the other end of Panchanga Road, right next to a tourist destination, we've got the chicken farms down there, which is lots of big agricultural sheds and storage and white top stuff. And on the other end of Brainerd Road, we've got the Crescent Meat. So, I mean, the whole area is surrounded with agricultural industry, which have grown out of agriculture. And I think we really need to support this to build confidence in our community and to have things going forward. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Archer, you wish to sum up?
Yes, I would just like to sum up that I support the growth of the agriculture industry as well. And as I said, with the height of the silos, there are options to store grain at a lower height. It might be a little more a cost, but it would be a lot less intrusive. Ideally, certainly, there would be agricultural industry hubs at each end of Warmers Parramatta Road, but that's not what this is about. This is about the intrusion on the landscape, which I think is unnecessary, and I'd suggest the proponents look at a lower height for silos, at least if they're going to come back with another application, because that is a reasonable request, I think, for the situation to keep the business there, but also not to ruin a fairly pristine rural landscape. And as someone said, I think Mr. Tusker said, this is a greenfield site. It is not really an industrial site. And this is what we're going to lose with an 18.3, maybe 18.6 metre structure. That is a six-storey building height, and I don't think this is the right place to put something of that size.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against?
No. Aye.
So it's Councillor Andrews, Councillor Goss, Councillor Adams and myself. The motion is carried. Planning 4. A dwelling and stables, Midlands Highway, Camden. Okay. Councillor Terrox moved the recommendation. Do I have a second? Councillor Adams? Denied. Any discussion?
This is a pretty straightforward, and I don't think there's any objections. There's been any objections at all.
No discussion from anybody else? Alright, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. We can move out of. Planning. Councillor Adams, Councillor Lambert. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Okay, we'll go back to. Oh, yes, we'll adjourn for our meal now. So, until 6:45. So, anyone who wishes to hang around till 6:45 is most welcome. But we'll be adjourning for our meal now.